Sam and I went on our first cruise. So we went from San Francisco to Alaska, and we were so excited because we had never been to Alaska before. And so we were really looking forward to the ports. We were looking forward to just exploring and experiencing as much as Alaska as we could. And so because of this, what we would do is every time we went into port, we were often like one of the first ones off the ship. And then sometimes we were the last ones on the ship. And there was times when I was worried we'd get left behind, but we made it. But on our last port, we kind of stopped in Vancouver. And so we were only there a few short hours from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. So again, we woke up early, ate our breakfast, and as soon as the ship docked, there we were, 7 a.m. And so we were ready to explore. And as we were walking, we saw this couple that was sitting on the bench, and we had met this couple on the cruise, and so we had eaten dinner with them. So we kind of waved to them and said, have a good day, and off we went to explore Vancouver. So pretty soon, we realized that most of the shops and restaurants along the port didn't open until 10 a.m. So it was like, hurry up and wait. And so we get there, and so we're just walking. And so we keep walking, and we keep walking. And finally, we ended in Chinatown. And Chinatown was open. And so we were able to explore Chinatown, and we went into the shops and restaurants. And then we even found an aquarium, which is a bonus for Sam because he loves aquariums. And we were able to see the sea life in that region. So once we were done, it was almost 10, so we started to head back to the shops, and we passed by that couple who were still sitting at the bench. And we said, what have you done? And they said, what do you mean, what have we done? All the shops and restaurants are closed. We've just been sitting here waiting for 3 hours for the shops to open. And we were thinking how we were waiting as well, but in contrast, we were actively waiting. We actually went and did something while we were waiting, and if we hadn't, we wouldn't experience that part of Vancouver. And so some of us, if we are honest, we are waiting for the right moment to either serve or to go deeper into relational, into community with our church. So some of us, we might have our own excuses. We might say, I'll join a ministry when I send the kids off to school. Or I'll join a grow group when my work gets a little bit less busy. Or I'll have people over for fellowship and dinner when my house gets organized. Which frankly, that may never happen, right, some of us. And so we say all these reasons and we're pushing out opportunities that maybe God has for us to grow deeper in community or to strengthen our faith in service. And so as I was thinking about it, there's two things that stand out what keeps us sometimes in that waiting period. And the first is circumstances. So if we were honest, some of you in our congregation, maybe you're experiencing difficult circumstances. Maybe there's job loss. Maybe you've recently lost a family member, or maybe you're battling with illness or depression or anxiety. And sometimes when our circumstances are difficult, all we can see is ourselves, right? That's all we can see. We can't even see past ourselves. How can I serve when I am just so overwhelmed by life right now? We feel paralyzed. And so in our reading, in the Old Testament reading, we saw this very thing that was happening. So there was famine in the land. So because of that, there wasn't resources for food or for water. And we see this widow who was in dire circumstances. In fact, just the fact that she was a widow was extremely bad because in that culture, in that time period, she lost her provider. Her provider was her husband. So she had no provider for her. And then she was in dire need. So when God spoke to her through the prophet Elijah and said, please make me a cake, she looked in her cupboards and said, you know what? I am not called for the gift of hospitality right now. Right? She's like thinking, this is not my time for us. Come back later on when the rain comes. I'll make you a great cake. It'll be delicious. But right now, I have nothing. So sometimes that's how we feel. I have nothing left to give. I have nothing left to give. But she obeyed God. And what happened? she was able to participate in this amazing miracle of provision that God provided through having multiple bread and oil and flour. And so she was able to experience something that she wouldn't have if she had said, no, Elijah, I cannot do that. So we need to go past sometimes our circumstances to see what God has for us. My husband and I have been married for 11 years, and the first 8 of them were really plagued with a lot of trials. Our circumstances were extremely difficult. So there was 3 things that caused a lot of stress and depression and anxiety. One of them was, well, first of all, in 2008 with the crash, it really affected Sam's industry. So he's a manufacturing engineer. So for those 8 years, he went from startup to startup, and he would go for a little bit, and then that startup would die, and then he would be laid off for 6 to 9 months sometimes. And then that cycle would continue. And it happened 4 times, just right after the other. And in fact, it got to the point where if his car was in the driveway early and I came home, I would have an anxiety attack because I thought he had been laid off. And then it was almost better news to say, oh, you're just sick. Oh, great. You know, at least you're not laid off. The flu I can handle. But it was extremely hard. We had financial difficulties. And then around that time, my Youth for Christ chapter closed down. And because of that, my salary got cut. So we were in extreme dire situations financially. And so on top of that, for the 11 years of our marriage, we had been struggling with infertility. And so for those first 8 years, I was going through medical procedure upon medical procedure. Month after month, receiving negative results. And there was a lot of loss and a lot of pain as I was seeing this hope that I had to start a family just dissipate. And we even registered as foster parents in the county for foster adopt, and that didn't work out either. And so the pain of not having children in our home, financial issues, it almost seemed too much to bear. And then in the middle of October, we're in my family, I lost 6 members of my family. It started in April. I lost my cousin. He was a couple months shy of his 40th birthday. He lost the battle of cancer. He left behind a wife and 3 small girls. And then it continued to some uncles and another cousin, and then my 2 beloved grandmothers that passed away. It was wave upon wave upon wave of grief. And in those moments, I felt I didn't even want to get out of bed. In those moments, I was just praying, God, help me. And then my job was not only to get out of bed, but I had to go to schools. I had to go to youth groups. And I had to proclaim that God loves these kids. And at times, I wasn't feeling it myself. But then I learned something deep in my spirit. I learned something. I learned that God's goodness is not dependent on my circumstances. Did you catch that? God's goodness is not dependent on our circumstances. God is a good God, period. Period. And because he is good, I was able to get out of bed. I was able to go to those schools. I was able to go to those youth groups. I was able to proclaim to junior hires and tell them, God loves you. And he has a plan for you. And he wants to make good out of the brokenness and think bad things in your life. And not only was I able to proclaim it, I was able to believe it. And because of that, I lived out the verse that Joshua just read to us. I lived out that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And some of you, you may be struggling with your own circumstances, and your jar of clay, it may seem a little fragile. It may seem a little cracked. It may seem like this little jar is kind of broken. But I encourage you, I admonish you, Do not put your jar on the shelf, but allow God to flow out of you and to leak out of your brokenness, out of the cracks, to reach out to people that you may never understand how God is working. So in those 8 really difficult years, I had this young student come to one of my clubs, and he was literally wheeled in from his friends, by his friends, and he had both his arms and both his legs in casts, and he had broken all his limbs because of a failed suicide attempt. And he came in, and he learned about God's love for him. And it changed him, and he became a Christian, and he started to invite his friends to club. And I am so proud to announce that even right now, he's a young man. He is in full-time youth ministry, serving in Indiana. So we never know what God brings out of the brokenness around us. For some of us, maybe it's not circumstances. Maybe it's limitations, maybe even real limitations or perceived limitations that we have placed on ourselves. Maybe we have said those words, I am too old, I'm too young, I'm too sick, I don't have enough money, I'm too shy, I'm too whatever, my house will never be clean. Whatever those limitations that we say, it restricts us. It restricts us from something that God has planned for us. So about 2.5 years ago, when I came to St. Timothy's, I had this dream to do this home mission trip with the middle schoolers. And in my dream, it looked a certain way. So in my dream, I pictured us at a soup kitchen side by side, and we'd be chopping vegetables and making food to serve to people that were hungry, and then also sit with them and eat with them this meal and listen to their stories. I had done this in previous youth groups, and it was extremely powerful. And then I had this idea also to go to shelters and to work with the kids that are there. And so as I started calling agencies, agency after agency turned me down. And they said, your kids have to be at least 14. And my kids are 11 through 13, most of them. So I could have at that point said, well, you know what? You can serve, you can go to Mexico when you're in high school. For now, we'll just go play grog, you know, it'll be fine. But no, I said, what can we do? I started to realize we are strong. We have strong bodies, we have strong minds. And you know what we can do? We could walk and canvass this neighborhood. We could knock on doors. We could ask for food for our food pantry. We could stock shelves. We can go to City Team and we can carry bags and put fruits and vegetables in them. We can get backpacks and fill them with school supplies to pass them out to kids that are going back to school shortly. We can go and we can search scripture and we can find scripture and we could read it to people that we are visiting and we can pray over them. Those are all things that we can do. We could pick up trash. We can love on each other. And those are things that we focus on. So don't focus on your limitations, because perhaps God has something planned for you that you may have never thought of. For some of you, maybe it's just taking the bulletin each week and praying for the people that are sick. Maybe it's making a meal. Maybe it's joining Pastor John on Monday mornings to pray for others. Don't know what it is, ask God. God, what do you have for me to do during this time? And the great news is we do out of who we are. And who we are is we are sons and daughters of the Most High. We are sons and daughters of God. And he has placed in us skills and gifts that are unique to us. And he's placed each of us in realms of influence that are unique to us, in our place of work, in our families, in our communities, on our soccer team. There, you can reach people that no one else can reach because of where you are in your sphere of influence. And the power to doing comes out of the Holy Spirit. It comes out of being connected daily through prayer and Bible study. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit implodes out of our life. And that's how we're able to be loving to those that are really difficult. That's how we are to be joyful in circumstances. That's how we are to be kind. That's how we are to have the peace that passes all understanding. It's through being connected through the Holy Spirit and allowing him to work in us and through us. For some of us, the thing that we need to do is we need to be real. We need to be authentic, church family. We need to be honest and say, I'm struggling. I need encouragement. I need prayer. I may need a meal if I'm in the hospital. And being able to be vulnerable and to be connected together as a family. The best illustration I ever read about this was about an eagle. And I didn't know much about eagles, but an eagle, when they're about 40 to 50 years, first of all, I didn't know they lived that long, but when they're 40 to 50 years, their wings, their feathers are outgrown. And so they're too heavy to fly very far. And their beaks are gnarled and their talons are gnarled. And so they're defenseless against prey. So what they do is they fly up to the highest point that they can fly to, and they start ripping out their feathers, and they smash their beak, and they rip out their talons, and they're waiting, in expectant waiting. They're waiting for growth. But as they do this, they call out to other eagles. Isn't that fascinating? They call out for help, and eagles come and bring them food. Who would have thought? They bring them food. And they not only bring them food, but they fly around. They fly around because they are defenseless. They're open for prayer, for prey. So they fly around and they're protecting them. You want to come over here? You're going to deal with me, right? They're flying around protecting that defenseless eagle. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the body of Christ? Isn't that? That's what we should be all about. When the world looks at us, we should be people that love each other. One of the things, the reasons why I believe that I walked out of those 8 horrible, horrific years with my faith still intact was the people of God. It was the churches that we were part of walked alongside of us. They walked alongside of us and prayed for us each time Sam was laid off. They prayed for me when I was so depressed from infertility treatments. They attended my family's funerals. I officiated 3 of them, and I would look out and I would see people from my church sitting there. They didn't know my cousin. They didn't know my grandma. They didn't know my uncles. But they were standing together in grief with us and saying, we have you. We love you. We support you. And that's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. And so my encouragement, church, is that when the world looks at us, that they will see people that love each other. They will see people that serve the poor. They see people that stand for the oppressed that are hurting. And while they look at us, they will say, I want that. That is attractive Christianity right there. I want some of that, Jesus, right? That's what they'll say. And so together, let's be God's hands and feet. Let's go out and be light. Let's be salt. Let's be who he's created us to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, sometimes we feel so overwhelmed by our circumstances. We feel like little battered jars of clay. We feel that we do not have resources. We have limitations. But God, remind us that you have provided through us, that in our weakness, you are strong. Through your strength, we can do all things. I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we will be a church that will be a light to our community, and that we will point others to your love and your salvation. And we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be chosen by you and to be used by you. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So